Chapter 10, The First Year Ends. In another reality, Draco and Neville both had detentions, with Harry and Hermione. So, through a series of events, Harry met a centaur named Firenze, who warned him about Voldemort. In this reality, only Harry and Hermione had detention, and so the only thing that happened was Hermione crying over a dead unicorn. This made coming to the end of the traps that held the Philosopher's Stone an exciting surprise for Harry. His going theory was that Professor Snape didn't want him dead, but did want the Philosopher's Stone for some reason. Exams came and went. Harry remembered precisely how to make a forgetfulness potion, and couldn't even find it in himself to be proud of it, what with the stabbing headache. And then Dumbledore was called away, and Harry had to decide whether to try to steal the stone. In another reality, this was an easy decision, because the other option was death by Voldemort. In this reality, the conversation went a little differently. "Look, I know you two hate him, but he's the best teacher I've ever had, and I can't let him get fired just because he thinks he needs a Philosopher's Stone for some stupid reason. So I'll get it, and I'll give it to Dumbledore tomorrow, and it will be as if nothing ever happened." He thought about Dumbledore and a mirror. "Dumbledore will understand." "I don't. We can't just go doing whatever we please just because the headmaster's away. Professor McGonagall will skin us," Hermione said. "It's about ethics," Harry said, trying to put something he felt that was very complicated into words. "Just because no one else knows it's the right thing to do doesn't make it not right. So I've got to do it. I know I do." And he thought about someone who wasn't Professor Snape, who tried to kill him. And he added, "Don't worry about me. I'll be fine." Ron huffed in exasperation. "That's Tornet." Hermione nodded, looking morose. "What's this about?" "Hermione and I made a promise to keep you out of trouble," Ron said, "and I reckon we can't hex you." Ron looked rather as if he liked the hexing plan. "We can't let someone evil get their hands on a Philosopher's Stone," Harry tried, looking to Hermione for support. "Someone who's been killing unicorns?" Which was a guess, and he was a horrible person. But the way she paled and then nodded, well, he'd make it up to her somehow, if they all lived. The laughter from his dreams echoed at him mockingly, and his scar hurt. After everything, Draco Malfoy came to visit him in the hospital wing. He didn't say anything. He just looked at Harry. "I suppose you're mad at me for beating him," Harry said tiredly. "Are you going to try to push me down the stairs too?" Something in Draco's posture relaxed. "You're as off your rocker as the headmaster," Draco drawled. "Congratulations on nearly getting yourself killed, I suppose." "Thanks," Harry said, ladening it with as much sarcasm as he could. "Who pushed you down the stairs?" "Goyle. I think he thought he was doing you a favor or something. He stopped, though." "That doesn't sound like Greg." "Well, how should I know what he wanted? He tried to push me down the stairs. He stopped."
Probably jealous. You are my rival, after all."
"I'm your what?"
"My rival. My hopelessly outclassed rival. Endlessly striving to live up to my standards."
Harry stared at him.
"I think I'll join the Slytherin Quidditch team next year," Draco mused. "Just so there's nothing you can do that I'm not better at. You understand. Show you how it's done, but properly."
"You're just upset I'm on the Quidditch team and you aren't, Lizard."
"Yes," Draco drawled. "I do think it's unfair that your head of house broke the rules like that. I'm glad you agree."
"Professor McGonagall didn't," started Harry.
"Put a first year on the Quidditch team? For absolutely no good reason?"
"Why do you have to be such a prat all the time?" Harry hissed.
"Your secret, chosen one, boy who lived magic stuff, influence, of course.
Draco said, smirking. Harry had the horrible sinking feeling that that wasn't the last time Draco would quote him on that. It was with that conversation in mind, upon the addition of house points for Gryffindor, thanks to stopped Quirrell and Voldemort, that Harry didn't cheer as loudly as his fellows at winning the cup. He met Draco's look of stunned horror across the great hall and looked away, only to catch Snape glaring at him from the head table. He thought about what Dumbledore had said, that Snape had only been keeping him alive because he owed his father, and felt cold inside before shaking himself out of it. He had his friends, didn't he? And a whole summer ahead of him to finish memorizing 1001 herbs and fungi.